Yeah, we talk about this a lot on this program. Trust is always an issue for institutions. Can't do much when you're not trusted. A clothing store called Robbing You Blind isn't going to have a successful relationship with customers, right? No, no, no. But what if trust is your middle name? Eastern Trust, Fidelity Trust, First Security Trust, Republic Bank and Trust. Do we detect a pattern here? Banks want your trust. They really want it. I mean, they want it so much they put trust in the name over and over again.
Bankers Trust.
Bank and Trust.
Bankers Trust.
Trust.
Trust. Trust is still here.
Names to reassure you that your money is safe. Whatever happens, your bank is going to be there. Imagine bankers as trusted members of the community, as trusted as, say, ministers, coaches, or pediatricians. Come to think of it, even those blue chip professions have had some branding issues lately. But Bankers Trust, hey, even that is a bank name. Bankers Trust.
Bankers Trust.
Well, Bankers Trust, not the Bankers Trust, but as a concept, Bankers Trust is in trouble, big time. As recently as 2007, 40% of Americans trusted banks. Less than half, true, and it's down from historic highs. But today, even that support has been cut in half.
Bankers Trust.
One in every five Americans trusts a bank these days. That means 80% of Americans don't. Is this a boom time for mattresses and cookie jars? Eduardo Porter writes the Economic Scene column for our partner, The New York Times. His recent column, The Spreading Scourge of Corporate Corruption, asks why Americans are no longer fazed by bad behavior in big banks and other corporate institutions. And there is this epidemic of cynicism and distrust. Eduardo, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
What are the trends here? I mean, historically, have bankers, sat next to pediatricians on the trust bus?
Well, actually, bankers have done quite well in terms of trust. If you go back a couple of decades, you had more than half of Americans say that they trusted their banks, a lot or substantially. And that has just come plummeting down since the financial crisis of 2008, and now, as you pointed out, about only one in five Americans will say they trust banks. It's about the same share, by the way, that say they trust big business. Although big business has always done badly, Americans have not trusted big business for a long time. So its decline is not quite as abrupt as that of banks.
You know, Eduardo, I pointed this out a moment ago, when you try to put trust in your name every way you can, and the level of trust is so low, as the statistics you cite suggest, what does that do to the business model of banking? I mean, banks have to trust that people will pay back money. People have to trust that banks aren't going to lose their money. Yeah. It seems to me this affects the workings of the system. It's not simply a PR issue here.
Well, that's right. I mean, when you put your money in a bank, you have to trust that you're going to get it back. And it's, you can think of this. This works for any transaction, right? I mean, what do we got? We've got trust and we've got the law. So when we entrust a company with our money, we assume that we're going to get some product or service in return, and that product or service is going to be a good one. And we sort of trust that either the law or the bank's reputation will ensure that this is going to happen. And when you're trusting, this falls apart, well, then you just stop doing these transactions. Now, I can't tell you that Americans are right now putting all their money underneath their beds, but and there's not that many alternatives to a bank account, really. And in fact, I think that one of the reasons that Americans still do put their money into banks is because there is there's a implicit guarantee from the government that you were going to get your money back, right? If this guarantee didn't exist, perhaps there would be more people putting their money underneath the
bank. That's interesting. The FDIC is really, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, is really sort of the government insignia of trust that the banks would not have on their own. Listen to what one of our listeners, who seems to be struggling with this a little bit, we solicited responses from some of our listeners. Listen to this.
This is Kai from Minneapolis. People shouldn't be putting their money in their banks in the first place. The bank is not your friend, and their first purpose is to enrich their shareholders, which is obviously why they're charging you $5 a month. Put your money in a credit union. They'll try to help out your community, and they won't be just enriching some faceless stockholders.
Now, Kai's notion there is also an argument that, your local banker makes when he goes down to the Rotary Club. He says, I'm trying to help out the community. Yes, I have my shareholder responsibilities, but you know, I'm trying to be a leader and a helper in the community. Is that a very difficult argument to make these days?
Well, I do believe that as banks have become bigger and financial institutions have become bigger and more abstract and more detached from their individual consumers, this argument of establishing a relationship, you know, of trust, a more touchy-feely sort of relationship with your bank becomes impossible, and then people see their credit unions as something perhaps closer to them. I'm a little skeptical that, in fact, credit unions have a different sort of kind of like business ethic and hence will be, you know, nicer places or safer places to keep your money. I really think that the reason that one should trust that one's going to get one's money back is because the FDIC is standing behind the account. But just to point out, many, many people believe that credit unions, if you ask about trust in credit unions, I don't have the statistic in my hand, but it's much higher than banks.
Hmm. That's interesting. So, you know, the other thing that you mentioned there reminds me of the savings and loan crisis. I mean, savings and loans had a kind of credit union alternative brand in the financial industry back in the 80s, but then they botched it completely by having the same kind of scandal and crisis and sort of greed reputation that some of the investment banks have now. Do you think savings and loans can get it back? Can investment banks, for that matter, get it back?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I don't hold out a lot of hope. I mean, I do think that this isn't just we haven't just gone through a normal kind of cycle of a recession or a cycle of mistrust, because, you know, trust also kind of follows the economic cycle. When people are in a bad way, their distrust increases or their trust falls. I think this is a more important kind of inflection point, and it's not only the crisis, but the kind of like enormous spate of scandals that we're seeing coming up of a very large scale, such as the scandal with the LIBOR interest rate right now, being manipulated by a handful of banks, apparently. I think that might make trust go away for a very long time, and I really can't tell you exactly how that's going to play out, but it doesn't look good, again, because trust is so important for everything, you know.
And maybe changing the name from bank to something else, like money repository might be the answer. Eduardo Porter, writer of the Economic Scene column for our partner, the New York Times, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Take care.